It's not about women's rights. It's about equal rights for both men and women in the developing world. And in the more than 30 years that Shroker has been working globally, we have seen the impact that poverty has, particularly on women and girls who are much more vulnerable in situations of poverty and who bear an inordinate amount of the responsibility for working and feeding their families. So when women don't have the same opportunities and rights as men, then obviously they're going to stay poor, and that's what we're trying to work on.
And how does this manifest itself?
Women in the developing world have a lot of challenges, I suppose, that women in Ireland wouldn't, for example, or in the developed world, where the role of women in society has taken great strides in the last 100 years or more. Women have the right to vote and own property and all of those rights we take for granted. But in the developing world, social customs and traditional customs sometimes don't offer women those same opportunities. And working with men and women together, we are hoping to educate women about what their rights are and then to help them access those rights.
In what ways mainly do you find that women are discriminated against?
For example, in some countries in Africa, domestic violence is a huge problem. 70% of all refugees and displaced people are women, for example. Women produce 80% of the food on the planet and they get 10% of the agricultural assistance. So again, they bear a huge responsibility for bringing up their families, and they don't get the support either from the state or sometimes socially that they need to do that well.
And I mean, what about the men? Are they involved and have they a role in this?
They certainly do have a role in this, 50% of our population, and, you know, we can't sideline those. And again, it's not just about women's rights. It's about helping men and women to kind of work together to change these structural things that make and keep women poor, and that also make and keep men poor. But again, traditionally, the maternal role and the feminine role as wives and homemakers and childbearers, women seem to suffer predominantly when it comes to poverty.
And what is done, have you found, in these countries to keep women in a subservient role?
In some societies, for example, I've just come back from Kenya, and we looked at a number of situations, for example, where customarily or traditionally women are married very, very young. They are deprived of an education. They're taken out of primary school if they ever go to primary school. They're forced into early marriages, sometimes as young as 8 or 9 years of age, after being circumcised. They're married at that stage, so their parents, who are generally very poor, can receive a dowry for them, which, you know, will sustain them in terms of food and so on. And then these young girls are all of a sudden wives and then mothers, and they don't go to school, they've no education, they don't know their rights, and they've no way of participating in society or in the processes that affect their lives and the decision-making processes. So that cycle tends to perpetuate itself. The girl will become a mother and have a child, another girl child, and the same cycle starts again. And I think it's lack of education on the part of both the men and the women in those societies that keeps them poor. So we're working to educate people to try and change their practices, get young girls into school. Education really transforms lives. I think it's been proven that every year in primary school, every year a young girl stays in primary school delays the time she will become a mother by 3 or 4 years. So that in itself, like even a few years in primary school, makes a huge difference. So we're working on issues of education. We're advocating for legal rights for women who are being sexually or domestically abused, physically abused by their husbands or brothers or so on. It was, for example, legal in many parts of Africa for men to beat their wives. It isn't any longer, but sometimes customs take longer to die out than just because legislation comes in doesn't mean it's enforced. So it's working on a lot of those issues, but men have to be involved for any change to take effect.
But is poverty not really at the root of it all? Because, I mean, after all, as you said, if the parents get a dowry when a child is married at the age of 8, if they had money, would they put off letting the child be married?
Absolutely. Our partners that we work with in Kenya, for example, have told us that education, again, is the answer, and that the more young girls and women and men are educated, the more things change and the more rapidly things change. So that a lot of customs which would have been accepted in societies there, even until very recently, are dying out. And, for example, circumcision is only carried out in small pockets of Kenya, where it would have been far more widespread. And again, it's just down to education.
And what's Shroker's role in all this?
TROCHRA's role is funding groups like the Coalition on Violence Against Women in Kenya, for example, who provide counselling and legal aid and help women if they want to prosecute somebody if they've been victims of rape or domestic violence. They work to keep young girls out of early marriage and keep them in school. They work with the children, as they're called, HIV orphans whose parents have died, very young children who might not have family members to mind them. We fund partners who offer home-based care for HIV patients, and a lot of very, very tangible work is happening at grassroots level, and that's where the Lenten donations will go.